We've been having a fantastic time here at the temple, taking part in hearing the teachings and the prayers of Prahlad Maharaj. As you see, the verses that we're going to... Whoops, what happened here? The verses that we'll be covering... Oh, I know what the problem is. These verses, 22... through 34 of chapter 10, 22 through 34. I see what's going on. It's timed to change, and I didn't take the timing out. So, everybody knows who Prahlad Maharaj is. You're all from India. Everybody knows. And according to what Prahlad Maharaj says, we're going to look at the verse specifically. He's a Vaikunthavasi. In his prayers to Lord Nrisimhadev, he says, "You sent me here from the spiritual world, to this world, to teach the way of pure devotion." You know, Vaikuntha consciousness in Devi Dakli. Very relevant for all of us. This situation of being in the world and being attached to some degrees, differing degrees, to this temporary. And to come to the position where we're in the world, but fully attached to the supreme goal of life, the supreme personality of Godhead, living fully connected in devotional service, in bhakti yoga, to that same supreme personality of Godhead, the way of devotional service, the way of pure devotional service. And he is such a devotee. He's an unflinching devotee. Nothing makes him flinch. Being tossed off a cliff or trampled under elephants or put in a vat of boiling oil or nothing. He's not fazed because the Lord protects Prahlad. And ultimately from the chief terrorist, Hiranyakashipu. So we're not going to review all those wonderful things that we've been spending so many hours. We're just do the conclusion and go back a little bit to a few of the main points of this last section, chapter 10. So what has happened in chapter 8, after, in chapter 6, actually the end of chapter 5, Hiranyakashipu and the people that try to kill him can't kill him, and he becomes afraid. Shunda and Amarka, the teachers, "Don't worry. He's a little boy. We'll work him over. He'll be all right." So we went back to school. And then he started teaching the classmates. And they became pure devotees. And two chapters of very detailed teachings that helped them become fixed in devotional service. That was chapters 6 and 7. Chapter 8 begins. He finds out. Shunda and Amarka go, "Yikes. Not only Prahlad, now the whole class. Hiranyakashipu, do something." So he comes with a sword in hand. "I'll cut off your head." "And this Vishnu, you say he's everywhere. Let him come and save you." So he does. And Ranikashipu was finished, and all of his soldiers and attendants and military, they're finished. The demigods witness all of this because they prayed to Lord Vishnu to help. This, not just global terrorist, international cosmic terrorist. He's terrorized the universe. He was powerful. And he finished. So they came and they celebrated. He's finished and offered prayers to Lord Nrisimhadev, who was still roaring in great anger, and his anger wouldn't subside. So they then hit Brahma and Shiva and others, encouraged him. He appeared to protect you, so you go forward. And so last Thanksgiving, we just spent the whole Thanksgiving just talking chapter 9, the prayers. So we summarized the prayers. Lord Nrisimhadev said, you've satisfied me very much. I want to give you benedictions. I'm the giver of benedictions. I'm the fulfiller of the desires of everyone. You can ask for anything. And he gave him some things even without asking. May you live a long life. And he lived a very long life. The life of one Manu. That's a very long life. And then begins chapter 10, where Prahlad says, smiling, this is an impediment. You're giving, cute, but no. The offering of something material, I've already seen my father, he had everything. And in a moment it was gone. I don't want those things. And his consciousness becomes blocked. When you have things, there's a tendency to become attached to those things. So if you really want to give me a good benediction, give me the benediction that I don't desire anything material to be enjoyed. Can you give me that benediction? Very beautiful prayers. And at the end, he then says, please give forgiveness to my father. Please release my father from all the sinful reactions. He did so many bad things to me and to so many people. He was bad. He was a demon. Please relieve him from the reactions of all those misdeeds. That's where we ended up from this midday session. Now we're just continuing and we'll complete the chapter. My dear child, your father has already been purified just by the touch of my body at the time of his death. Nonetheless, the duty of a son is to perform the Shraddha ritualistic ceremony after his father's death so that his father may be promoted to a planetary system where he may become a good citizen and a devotee. Now this is the personality of Godhead speaking. And similarly in Ramayana, after wicked Ravana was killed, Vibhishan had to perform his funeral because these duties like this are to be done, not to be neglected. Now, because Brahma was there, and all these demigods were there, they performed the ritual. But he was the one who was the requester of that. Now, there is sometimes this question, maybe you have asked this question yourself. Jai and Vijay were cursed. They came for three lifetimes as demons. Hiranyaksha, Hiranyakashipu, Ravana, Kumbhakarna, Shishupal, and Dantavakra. So that's a long time between Hiranyakashipu and Ravana. Where'd they go? You ever wonder that one? Anyone over there wondered that one? I've wondered that one. And I've asked a number of devotee scholars. And the devotee scholars say, I've not read anything by our acharyas or from scripture that says where he went. But it didn't go back to Godhead because they didn't go back to Jai Vijay position. They didn't merge with Brahman. They went somewhere. Now, in the purport, this is what Prabhupada writes. Although Hiranyakashipu was already purified, he had to take birth on a higher planetary system to become a devotee again. Well, he didn't become a devotee again. He became Ravana again. And then he became Shishupal again. And then he got delivered. And there's some detail about how Shishupal was delivered. That's another description. But the emphasis here is Lord Nrisimhadeva instructing, although already purified, do the ritual. Because the ritual is for purification. To help the soul pass on to a good situation. Make auspicious the departure of the soul from the temporary body. Even in the case of someone that's so sinful and abominable as Hiranyakashipu. Already purified by the touch of Lord Nrisimhadeva, still performed the ritual. After performing the ritualistic ceremonies, take charge of your father's kingdom. He's already said, no thank you. But now he's saying, take it. Sit upon the throne, because he's the eldest son. And after the departure of the king, this eldest son becomes the regent, then eventually the king. Only he just went fast forward. You hear, Brahma made him the king. Sit upon the throne and do not be disturbed by materialistic activities. Please keep your mind fixed upon me. Without transgressing the injunctions of the Vedas, as a matter of formality, perform your particular duties, like the shraddha that he wants him to do. It's, in one sense, it's a formality. Even in the position of spontaneous devotion, some of you are familiar with what that term is, raganuga bhakti. Even when one is situated in raganuga bhakti, or bhava bhakti, one is scripturally enjoined. You follow, even you don't, those injunctions are needed to become spontaneous. When you're spontaneous, you follow them. Because it sets an example for the world. Yad yad acharati shrestas, tat tat eve tororjana. One of Arjuna's arguments, he doesn't want to fight. He doesn't want the responsibility for this battle. So, you don't have the qualification. Do your prescribed duty. Well, what if I become qualified? Then you do your prescribed duty. Because people will follow. Do your prescribed duty in any circumstance. Don't be attached to the duty. The duty is the purpose behind the duty. The duty is to please the personality of Godhead. So do your duties without attachment to the duties or the fruits that come from the duties or anything. The position, being a king, or the opulence of being a king. Don't become attached. The very first instruction is from Prahlad to his father. When his father asked him, what's the best thing that you learned? And he said, those who have received the material body, Dehinam, and those who are attached to the body and the extensions of the body, Asat Grahat, their mind is, their intelligence is disturbed by all kinds of anxiety. Sumud Vigna Diyam. So he's saying here, don't become disturbed with these temporary activities. The asat activities of being a king aren't lovely, but don't be disturbed by them. Do them for me. Because he wants, Lorna Sringadev wants, Krishna wanted. Before his departure, Krishna wanted a qualified king to rule the world. Yudhisthira was arguing. He's doing a good job. He's a really good organizer. He's a good organizer, but he's a demon. And I don't want to leave the world in the hands of a good organizer demon. I want to leave the world in the hands of a devotee. So that's what Krishna wanted. So he got what he wanted. And Nrsingadev wants the Daitya dynasty and all the opulence, they're very opulent, to be in the hands of a great devotee. So I want you to do it. Sit on the throne. Rule the kingdom of your father. I know you don't want it. That's a good qualification. If you wanted it, that would be a bad qualification. Or might be something to be of concern. Do it out of duty with attachment to me, to the personality of Godhead. In the purport, Prabhupada makes reference to this important verse. Those of you that hear Srila Prabhupada's recorded lectures, you know this one because he says it, repeats it again and again. Devarshi bhutapta nirnam prachinam the king karo nayam rini charajan sarvatmana yakshadanam sharanyam gato mukundam parihrityakartam. Those who have sharanam sharanyam, those who have taken shelter of the Sarvatma, the Supersoul, the Supreme Person, they no longer have rini. They no longer have debts. It's one of the earliest lectures I heard, Prabhupada, because I was fascinated by it. So I heard it, I don't know, 20 times. It stuck. Prabhupada's explanation. As soon as we're born, we're debtors. We're indebted to mother and father. We're indebted to the teachers. We're indebted to the forefathers. We're indebted to the sun and to the moon. You're supposed to pay back debts. You don't let debts languish. And the duties of life are to take care of your debts. You owe something to all these personalities. But when you become Sarvatma, Sharanam Sharanyam, your debts are liquidated. And it's not just an advertisement. Your responsibilities in this world are met. Doesn't mean you don't perform funeral ceremonies. You do your duties, but it has another purpose. Please the personality of God, because that's the consciousness of one who is this Sharanam Sarat Sharanyam. And that's how we're protected. So Narada, this whole canto, seventh canto, is spoken by Narada to Maharaj Yudhisthira on the occasion of the Rajasuya sacrifice. And Krishna's in the audience hearing everything. Narada speaking. Thus, the Supreme Personality of Godhead ordered Prahlad Maharaj perform the ritualistic ceremonies for his father, O King Yudhisthira. He was then enthroned in the kingdom of Hiranyakashipu as directed by the Brahmanas. So amongst the Brahmanas, great rishis, great sages, demigods, including Lord Brahma. And Lord Brahma offers a whole series of prayers, as you see, 25 through 29. Prahlad Maharaj, although a child, is an exalted devotee. Now he is fully under the protection of your lotus feet. If one meditates upon your transcendental body, you naturally protect him from all sources of fear, even the imminent danger of death. There's much discussion in this whole lila about fear and fearlessness. Where does fear arise from? Because that will tell you how to get to fearlessness. Just like, how do we get in this room? We came through the door. So when it's time to leave, you know how to get out of the room because you go through the door. This is a place of fear. What's the doorway into the place of fear? Because that tells you how to get out. Very logical. Vayam dutriyam abhinivesitaksyat. Bhagavatam teaches. Absorption in abhinivesh. Absorption in something that's seen as being separate from the personality of Godhead. Dvitiya, this picture of duality. So, the way out is not to pretend that this world of duality doesn't exist, or call it false or something like that. We acknowledge that this is a place of duality. There's winter and summer season, just like Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. There's day and there's night. There's happiness and there's distress. There's honor and there's dishonor. This is a world of duality. That's the place. And in this world of duality, there is the opportunity to become connected to non-dual while carrying out our duties within this dual realm, within the worldly realm of always changing picture of duality. That's bhakti yoga. That's the yoga in general, and the topmost is the bhakti yoga, which is what Prahlad has been promoting and explaining how to. Now that Prahlad is connected to you, he's protected. Fear is gone. He was already fearless even before Lord Nrisingadeva appeared. When they tried to kill him, he was fixed in remembrance, Vishnu Smaranam, based upon his Shravanam Kirtanam, hearing from Narada. He was fixed, Vishnu Smaranam, perfection. And Vishnu gave him protection in all circumstances. He was fearless. So the Lord Prahlad said in his prayers, you appear to create a situation of fearlessness for everyone. Because just by seeing you and by remembering you, one becomes fearless. So if one has a life-threatening, imminent danger of death situation, just remember him. Some devotees were describing they were going on a vacation. they were going to visit one of our farms. And the mother was driving, one child here, another child in the back seat. So with one hand, she was on the steering wheel. The other hand, she was trying to give some prasadam to her children. She wasn't paying attention. She hit the guardrail. And the car started to flip over with her children, husband, and herself in the car. She said, we, all of us, we screamed the Maha Mantra at the top of our lungs. We weren't exactly thinking of Krishna. We're just screaming, but you know, good news is we were calling the Maha Mantra, and I didn't think I was so Krishna conscious. But in that situation of facing death, the training, because of Krishna conscious training, that's what they did. But one can become fearless, not just chant the name, but fearless if one has actually taken shelter. No. They were very attentive to that sound vibration of the holy name as they were turning, rolling over upside down and ended up right side up. I know somebody else that ended up upside down. They were strapped into their seatbelt, looking down at the ceiling of the car, looking at, you know, the passenger who was strapped in. And so difficulty can come to devotees. Good devotees may come our way, your way. Take shelter. Practice taking shelter when it's not the crisis situation. So in the crisis situation, it's automatic, or it's just a natural result, like a child. Child sees something fearful. They may cry, but they also reach their hand for mommy. And mommy knows what to do. I travel internationally, and I don't know the language of some of the places where I go, but I see the same thing. The child goes like that, and mommy goes like that, and it, you know, the child is calm. It's universal, whatever the culture and language is. So we're like that. We're Krishna's children. And Lord Nrsimhadev has this special effect, special leela of granting fearlessness. It's true. O King Yudhisthira, after being worshipped by Brahma, oh yeah, something happened. Lord Nrsimhadev spoke to Lord Brahma. Brahma offered wonderful prayers. Lord Nrsimhadev said, Brahma, he got so powerful because you gave him this benediction. And he thought he was invincible, so don't give benedictions like this to demons anymore. Right in the Bhagavatam. In Brihat Bhagavatamrita, when Gopal Kumar visits Lord Brahma, he is describing the glories of Lord Brahma, who says, no, look, I'm so unqualified. I give benedictions to demons, and they terrorize the universe. And the Lord tells me not to do it, and I do it again. To assist the Lord in his pastimes. So, Brahma worshipped, and the demigods worshipped Lord Nrsimhadev. And Lord Nrsimhadev disappeared. Then Brahma, with the assistance of the Brahmanas, installed Prahlad as the king of the demons. And then Prahlad worshipped Lord Brahma and the demigods. And then they returned to their respective abodes. So that ends the Leela section. So now I want to go back and just cover a few things. This is from chapter 10, where Prahlad says specifically, because the seed of lusty desires, which is the root cause of material existence, is within the core of everyone's heart, you have sent me to this material world to exhibit the symptoms of a pure devotee. So sometimes the Lord sends his representative. I mean, there's a very popular religion in the world where God the Father hath sent me. Well, here's another. God the Father hath sent me, and his name is Prahlad. Now, we don't build a religion around Prahlad. We build a religion around the Father, and we worship him. We also honor and take shelter of the lotus feet of Prahlad. Now, take shelter of the lotus feet of, what does that mean? Because we can't see his lotus feet. Where are they? It means his instructions. In the mood of humility, we're at his feet. And his feet are accessible through his instructions. And we take his instructions to our heart. We're placing his lotus feet in our heart. And we have taken shelter of his lotus feet. That's what it means. And that's how you do it. Because one of the things that he said in his prayers, Rajo Pada Vishekam, Abhishekam. The only way, my dear Hiranyakashipu, that you can become freed from your demoniac mentality is you get Abhishek of the dust of a lotus feet of Narada Muni. Otherwise, you're a lost cause. Matir na Krishne. You'll never remember Krishna. You won't be able to, unless you get mercy. So the mercy is the instructions. I'm already getting some communications from persons who have been hearing this seminar, and their feedback, or their the takeaway, as you say, the take-home message is, go back again to key instructions of Prahlad and bring those instructions into my heart and try to cultivate the mood that the instructions are imparting. And that way, take shelter of his lotus feet, and that way, come to the stage of more pure, purer, purified bhakti towards Shuddha bhakti. From whatever the position is. That's what we need to do. The sound vibration itself is purifying. Just like taking a bath or shower. But you don't just stand there in the water. You do this. So do this. Take the message and hear the message. Try to understand the message. Let the message go into the heart. And act from the heart in harmony with that message, alignment with the message and the heart. And at least try like that, and that helps the heart become cleansed and more pure and fixed in pure bhakti. That's the whole purpose of Prahlad's, as he said. Now, he's speaking about this message here. O my Lord, O Supreme Instructor of the entire world, you are so kind to your devotee that you could not induce him to do something unbeneficial for him. You want to give benedictions, but don't give anything material. On the other hand, one who desires some benefit in exchange from devotional service cannot be your pure devotee. Indeed, he is no better than a merchant who wants profit in exchange for service. Please don't ask me to take something, because then I'm doing something for you and you're doing something for me. And that's our relationship. It's a mercantile relationship, an unspoken business relationship. I do something for you. That's friendships in this world. Our friends are, they scratch your back and you scratch their back, and that's your friend. They do something for you, you do something for them, and it's nice, and that's the friendship. And if either party stops scratching the other's back or doing that thing which makes them feel you're my friend, generally speaking, the friendship dissolves. Like, what's wrong with you? What happened to you? You used to be nice and fun. You're not fun anymore. See you later. I remember very clearly that the people that I went to college with, I thought, some of whom I thought were close friends, when I stopped doing the things that we did in college, which devotees generally don't do, the communication stopped, and some even came to visit me. But when I wasn't fun anymore. So, you know, the friendship evaporated. It wasn't really a friendship. It was this exchange. Or master, where the servant is doing something and they have their entitlement expectation. Now I'm deserving whatever the inventory list of my wishes are. Om Jaya Jagadisha Hare. I have my expectations. So Prahlad is teaching, no, thank you. I don't want anything from you. And if I wanted something from you, I'm practically a merchant. No better than. So this is Rupa Goswami, who taught the same thing. Rupa Goswami is a follower of Lord Chaitanya, who wrote on the science of bhakti, and the definitive verse that explains what bhakti is starts with this line, Anya Avilash Shunya. Shunya means zippo, zero, nothing. Anya means other, and Avilash means desire. I don't have any other desire. Wow. Prahlad has no other desire. That's what he's saying. Please don't request me to take a benediction, because that means our relationship is a business one. And it's not a business one. I don't need anything. I don't want anything. I just want your service. I want your shelter. I want to offer obeisances to you, to see you, to praise you, to do whatever service I can do. That's all I want. That's my happiness. That's my want. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught the same thing. Na dhanam, na janam, na sundarim, bhavitam, va jagadisha kamaye, mama janmani janmanishware, bhavatad bhaktir ahaituki twayi. Ahaituki bhakti, that's my only want. Ahetu, without cause, without a motivation. That's what I want. So I don't want wealth. I don't want a beautiful spouse. No, thank you. High birth. The fruits of piety. I don't want to be a pious person so I can get fruits of piety so I can enjoy in this life and after this life. Second chapter, Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says most people think like that. I've done surveys, informal, and most people think like that. Not just in one culture or another culture, all over the world. All different religions, different levels of education, and that's how people think. People that have a spiritual or religious inclination, that's their expectation. Piety, fruits of piety, prosper in this life, go to heaven after this life. Krishna in Bhagavad Gita says, don't think like that. Prahlad Maharaj is saying, don't think like that. Rupa Goswami is saying, don't think like that. Lord Chaitanya is saying, don't think like that. And it's, you know, the stream is moving fast where everybody's thinking like that. So we have to hear the message. Anya abhilash shunyam. So now, is it wrong? The answer is no. Is it wrong that you pray to God when there's some necessity? Please protect my child or something or other. Or something or other. That's not wrong. Here's another verse that Rupa Goswami taught about attachment, detachment, or what is appropriate for you to accept. The phrase that's very important is this yukta vairagya, the bottom line. Yukta vairagya. Yukta vairagya means we engage things in Krishna's service. Here's the one he says it's not okay. Phalgu vairagya. That's not okay. Phalgu vairagya is where there's hari sambandhi, there's a relationship of things with Krishna, and you give them up. But they're not yours to give up because they're haris. So artificial renunciation is giving up things that are in relation to hari. Rather, those things that are in relation to hari, should they be used in service to hari? But when you engage in things that are in relation to hari, anasaktasya means without attachment. Asakti is attachment. And anasaktasya is without attachment. Without attachment to vishaya. Vishaya means sense gratification. Accept things without the expectation of sense enjoyment. Now, where do you draw the line? Things that you should accept, things that you shouldn't accept, how much, how many pairs of shoes do I really need? Somebody asked me, little boy asked me, can you ask Maharaj why he only has one pair of shoes? Because Maharaj only needs one pair of shoes. When it's snowy, I have something else I put on my feet besides sandals. Anyway, you accept things that you need. So this yatharham upayunjitaha is a very interesting phrase. Yatharham means according to suitability. So let's take something very obvious. I'm a sannyasi. Most of you are householders. And if I, as a sannyasi, went and got a job, that wouldn't be suitable, wouldn't be appropriate. And if you, as householders, didn't go get a job, that wouldn't be appropriate. According to suitability. And then there's, well, what kind of job do you need? Well, according to suitability, that's the kind of job you need. Just like Ambarish, Henry Ford's grandson, through the inheritance, he has wealth and has many shares of stock in the Ford Motor Company that he just inherited just by taking birth of the Ford family. But he knows how to use it in Krishna's service. He's very, very, he's a very amazing person like that. And somebody else may not have that. Most people don't have that. But what you have, according to suitability, don't hanker for what you don't have. What you have, you use in Krishna's service. And you accept those things according to suitability. Now, somebody may desire, well, I want to work hard, earn lots of money, and serve Krishna through all that money. But you may be attached to making money more than, you know, wanting to serve Krishna having money. So you can become subject to being implicated in greed and all of the ugly things that are part of material contamination if it's not suitable for you. So, anasaktasya vishayan. Also go the other direction. There was a period of time, I have to wind up. There was a period of time in a Hare Krishna movement when devotees were really into observing Ekadasi according to Hari Bhakti Vilas, including staying up all night and having kirtan and discussing Krishna Katha, and it was very powerful, you know, nirjal all day and then breaking fast the next morning. So there was a bhakta who saw this going on. So he was thinking, let me try. It didn't work because it wasn't suitable for him to do that austerity. We found him one evening passed out in the walk-in refrigerator because he was so famished. He closed himself in the refrigerator and offered everything and started stuffing himself because he couldn't control his senses. And he passed out. I mean, he wasn't in there too long. He wasn't like cold. But it wasn't suitable. So we do those things that are suitable on the detachment, the acceptance, the non-acceptance platform. What is suitable for one person may not be suitable for another. But we accept those things that are suitable for us. And that takes some discretion. Or if we don't have any, then we'd take guidance of those that do. And then according to suitability. Nirbanda Krishna Sambande. Because everything is Sambande. It has its relationship with Krishna. And we use that in Krishna service. That is the kind of acceptance, non-acceptance, or attachment, detachment. That's the principle of Rupa Goswami. And I want to end with one last thing. This is a nice painting of Krishna and Uddhava. Krishna spoke a long section of 11th canto Bhagavatam to Uddhava. And in that section, I'm just going to paraphrase because of time, but supposing I'm a devotee and I hear about this pure devotional service that Prahlad Maharaj is speaking about, the Bhagavatam is speaking about, devotees speak about. I hear about this pure devotional service, and I like it. It resonates with me. It's a goal to work towards. It's a worthy goal to aspire for. And I'm down here. I don't have that capacity. I've heard from proper sources that involvement in the temporary leads to misery. Yehi sam sparsha ja boga dukkha yonaya evate. Dukkha comes from that expectation of enjoyment, boga, from bringing the senses in contact with sense objects. I've learned it, I've experienced it, I believe it. I know it's a fact. At the same time, I have attraction. It's probably most of us. It's not all of us. We're here, the goal is there, and there's a big gap between what we know and where we are. We want to go to where we want to go, but we're not there yet. So we're advised, don't imitate. Recognize where you are. And with faith in where you want to go, knowing that indulging the senses in objects of the senses is going to bring misery, we turn our attention to Krishna, my dear Lord Krishna. This is my position. Krishna already knows what our position is, but we situate ourselves in that relationship of honesty, transparency in our relationship with Krishna. And this is my situation. I have faith in you. I have faith in the bhakti process. I want to go there, but I'm not ready yet. I'm not in that stage yet. So please give me shelter at your lotus feet. Help me come to that position. I guess that's a signal I'm supposed to end. Is that what it means? Vadapati, I'm supposed to end? That's, okay. Class is over. So, this is, how to practically apply the lesson of pure devotional service when we're not there yet. We recognize what the position is. We embrace the goal. Strive for that goal. Don't beat ourselves up because we're not there yet. Or don't throw our hands up in the air and say the goal is too far away. What's the use? According to our position, we accept our position and work towards that goal with faith in the goal and the mercy of Krishna. And you know what? Krishna is very kind. Krishna will help us. It doesn't mean it won't get cold in the winter. Or it doesn't get hot in the summer. Or duality stops happening. People won't dishonor you or you'll only get honor. It doesn't mean duality will stop. But your consciousness will become elevated to the standard of Krishna consciousness by that method. That's the bhakti cultivation method. It's Krishna's words to Uddhava. Don't become complacent. Continue to strive towards pure Krishna bhakti. So I think, can you turn the light on back there? And thank you for being patient. Something's going to happen next. What's going to happen next? Do I take some questions or is there any discussion? All of this is recorded and online and you have something? Huh? Oh, okay. Hare Krishna. Do we have a microphone back there? Look at this. Here comes the microphone. I'm glad you came because you always have nice questions.
I wanted to know the Bhagavatam verse for the last part you said where Krishna says, like, you know, be
11,
honest.
11, 20, 27,
28. 11,
20, 27, 28. 11, chapter 20, verses 27, 28. Okay. Right behind, right, you're practically stepping on her. Oh, here we go.
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj. I just want to know the brief difference between the caution and fearlessness. Someone asked me and I could not explain properly, so.
Well, they don't have to be different. I mean, the meaning of the words is different, but it doesn't mean one who is free from fear is not cautious, or the person who's cautious has fear. Cautious means there's danger coming, or in this place, the place of danger. This is padam, you'd be padam. So it's a place of danger. But I'm fearless because I know that the protection of the Supreme, I know the protection of the Supreme Lord is there. So that's my fearlessness. And the caution is, I'm in this place that's dangerous. It's like getting in an airplane. You know, I travel a lot. So it's the same message every airline in every language. Fasten your seatbelt. The oxygen mask may drop from the ceiling. Of course, we don't expect it. Some of them say, otherwise I wouldn't even be a flight attendant. I wouldn't have come on this plane. We don't expect it to happen, but in case of emergency. So when you get on a plane, you're being told, caution, accidents happen. You get in your car, accidents happen. So you don't, being, you're cautious. You still get in your car. And does it mean you'll never get in an accident because you're a cautious Hare Krishna devotee? Somebody can whack you and you... So it can happen. So you're cautious. But the fearless is Krishna's protection is always there. And Krishna's protection ultimately means protection of the soul. If you're thinking of Krishna and you're in a car accident, you'll go to Krishna. That's his protection. That's the fearless position. Someone else? Someone else? Okay. And then that'll be it. We'll end. So Madhupati can make his announcements.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, a very enlivening lecture. So we know that at this time, Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu is...
Could you stand up so I can see you? Because eye contact is nice.
Yeah, Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu are in Vaikuntha Loka and they're doing their service as a guardman. Is there any specific service and place Prahlad Maharaj has in the spiritual world?
A special place for whom?
Prahlad Maharaj and service.
I'm trying to think if there's any scriptural statement. I'm unaware. Now it's not Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha, it's Jain Vijay. The Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu don't have a place in the spiritual world. They're demons. But I'm not aware of any statement that says, before Prahlad was sent, what was he doing? What was his service? And when he returned, what did he do? What was his service? I can't think of any scriptural statement or Aracharya statement that says. Huh? Yeah, well... Here's a detail for this person. There's reference in Hari Bhakti Vilas, you can tell this person, that is from Brahma Vaivarta Purana, which Sanatan Goswami quotes in Hari Bhakti Vilas, saying that there's another Prahlad. He doesn't say there's another Prahlad, but another cycle of the yugas. It's not always this Prahlad, it's sometimes another Prahlad, but Prahlad. Prahlad asks Lord Ashringadev, how did I become your devotee? Nice question. And Lord Ashringadev gives the answer. In your previous life, you were a brahmana. But it's kind of like the Ajamila story. Your name was Vasudev, or Vasudev, and you didn't follow Brahminical culture, and you became attached to a prostitute, you were engaged in drinking and doing bad things, and you spent most of your time with the prostitute, and one day you and the prostitute got in a quarrel, and you became very upset. So you lost your appetite. You couldn't even sleep at night, and it was Nrisimha Chaturdasi. You observed this vrata unknowingly. And so did she. So she became an apsara and then went back to Godhead and you became Prahlad. You're going to go back to Godhead by observing unknowingly this one thing. How powerful is the power of this Nrisimha Chaturdasi? And he says other things. Brahma got some powers that way and the demigods get powers and it's a powerful Nrisimha Chaturdasi. And then there's details about how to observe it. Brahma Vaivarta Purana. So, in that way, Prahlada's, each time Lord Nrisimhadeva appears, it's not always the Prahlad from the Vaikuntha. Otherwise, you know, Puranic narrations, we don't know if they're to be accepted, because some are tamasic and rajasic. But the ones that our acharyas like Sanatana Goswami make reference to, those are ones we know we can accept. Okay. I thought we were going to end. You're very, okay, go ahead, sure. Revisiting what? No, it just may be a tamasic representation of events. You know, the lens through which those who are in the tamagun and rajagun see things, or to help inspire those who are in the tamagun and rajagun position, but ultimately the personality of Godhead is glorified somewhere in that purana. If you want more detail on this topic, read Tattvasandarbha, and Jiva Goswami discusses it. Not threadbare, but like what I just said. There's mixed modes within the Puranas also. And it's to encourage people that are in the modes to come to the position of worship of Vishnu, which is sattva. But there's some statements that we just don't honor because they're encouraging people, they're for the people within that mode of nature.
Hare Krishna. So let's thank again Swami Maharaj with a loud. Hare Bol. Hare Bol. Hare Bol.